Welcome to Heartspeak Podcast, episode 123, We Are Nature.
Welcome to the Heartspeak Podcast, where valuable insights are shared that bypass the mind and resonate with the heart. Listen, open your heart, become inspired, find the joy and fulfillment that awaits when you follow your heart. And now, here's your host, Dr. Christine Page.
Well, hello again. You'll notice I've jumped a little bit in my numbering, but I'm coming in alignment with iTunes. So that's why we have a slightly different number there. And what's your week been like? Mine's been one of revelation. Astrologically, Saturn has been sitting on my moon. Not a comfortable experience. But when that happens, my moon is about what nurtures me, what brings me closer to myself, what's being reflected. So when Saturn's around, sometimes we feel that it's about restriction and limitation, but to me, Saturn's in my face. It's saying, so what are you doing? How are you nurturing yourself? What's going on? And to me, Saturn always brings me back to my true blueprint. Is this what nurtures me, for instance, when it's on my moon? And so I've been looking at different things that have been happening in my life, very much about synchronicity. And sometimes synchronicity, as we may know, is I think of someone and they call me, and I've had that experience this week. But it can also be that we're presented with things in our life that we're being tested with. Is this really true to my nature? Is this really true to my moon, for instance? Does this experience nurture me? And I always feel that that's such an exciting time. It may not sound like that, but we make our greatest growth, our greatest evolutionary changes when we're challenged by something often from the past that's an old memory, an echo of something that we would have done in the past, but at last we've said, nope, not going to go there again. And that's what I've noticed this week for myself. It's like, thank you for showing me this again. You could say testing me, but I'm now aware that, no, that isn't the place I want to go to. So I hope that you're also having these synchronous events that aren't always about, wow, this is really meaning I'm on the right track in terms of, yay, keep going, Christine. But it may be, yay, Christine, have you really learned this lesson? Have you really moved away from that pattern of behavior? And I hope I can celebrate with you that you're saying, yes, yes, I have. So that's magical. And because we now have Mercury going retrograde in Aquarius, we've talked a lot about Aquarius. Aquarius is about seeing the bigger picture. Mercury is seeing the biggest picture in a mental way, a communicative way, to be able to communicate on that larger picture with that larger picture. But it's also, when it's retrograde, it's also about a larger picture that may be within us, not outside us. So it brings us back to what I was talking about last time, making us really listening to our psychic abilities, our intuitive abilities, and say, is what I know of the bigger picture, what is what I see of my place in the world resonating with what I'm being told? And that, as I always say, is as true of anything you're listening to me or you're hearing from me when I'm not asking you to say, don't just believe me. Really listen in your heart. Does this resonate with me? Listen in your cells, your soul. Listen at the very deepest level of yourself, because the deepest level of us is universal, is cosmic, is divine. We have this linear idea almost that the smaller the aspects of ourselves, you know, like our cell or our subatomic levels, are only small and we need to look big and out there. But actually, it's not like that. Actually, the smallest pieces of us actually have the greatest wisdom. The greatest part of us sometimes don't. I think you understand what I'm saying there. We have an idea of bigger is better when bigger isn't always better. And the more we can get in touch with our deep subatomic levels, our quantum levels of who we are, we're really tapping into the universal truth, the divine truth. And that's what I think that Mercury retrograde in Aquarius is doing. It's asking us to go within. And that's why I brought up the subject of we are nature. I've recognized that over these last few months, I've been asked or I've been inclined, which often happens with me, to really contact my own inner nature, to not just contact it in a sense of my nature in terms of my behavior or my personality, but the nature within me. What is outside is inside me. And that's why I created the course, The Magic of Mother Nature on Insight Timer, that I hope some of you are enjoying. It's a lovely 30-day easy course for just exploring our nature. And I'm also about to hold an online course for wonderful Brazilian women on We Are Nature, going inside ourselves, becoming connected to the nature of the land, especially of Brazil, so that we really understand that we're not separated. And I've also started another course, as you may know, exploring our natural, our innate essence, our natural essence. And I'm enjoying looking at that with wonderful, wonderful people. So why am I doing this? It's because I recognize that the mind, the brain, has got so-called expansive as we've moved Saturn into Aquarius, Jupiter into Aquarius. And many people will then say to me, and I hear it, oh, I've become more spiritual. I'm now listening to this talk and I'm now meditating more and I'm more. And when I ask, well, why are you doing it? It's like, well, I believe this will make me more aligned or more connected to my truth, which may absolutely be true. But we have to be careful not to be tricked into spiritual intellectualism, another belief. Because when I talk about mind, body, spirit, or body, mind, spirit, I can tell you what body is. I suppose I can talk about a physical body, even though that's a little errant in its way. I can talk about the mind in terms of what is my mind. It's what I'm thinking, what I'm conscious of. Again, I would see that consciousness within the body. But then when we get to spirit, we get a little lost and we say, oh, this is spiritual, this is consciousness, this is religion. Therefore, it isn't the mind and it isn't the body. And what I've come to understand, that true inspiration, true visionary, that has nothing to do with our belief systems. So when we want to isolate spirit in its own essence, commonly it gets connected with beliefs. So if I say, tell me about your spirituality, you may tell me about your beliefs about spirit, or what you do for spirit, or your religion. So even if I say, you have guides, I have guides, it's a belief. Now you may say, no, it's not, it's a knowing. But how much of that knowing comes from just this moment, living in this moment, and how much comes from what you've learned or what you've been taught? We have angels. Where does that come from? So you will rarely hear me talking about, you know, my guides come from here or I'm connected to here, because that's a belief, an organized, concretized belief. When I receive information, I always say I receive it directly from the source, which means it's new, it's fresh. It's like, oh, there we go. Now I know something. So as we are talking about beliefs, we are often talking about beliefs from an intellectual point of view, a spiritual intellectualization. So when I might say to someone, well, where do you come from, if they believe that they don't come from this planet? And commonly they come from galaxies or suns, stars, I should call them stars, that we already know. You know, I come from the Pleiades, I come from Sirius, I come from Andromeda, I come from Arcturus. But these are such a small part of our galaxy. We only know or can see 3% of our galaxy. So I love it when someone says, I haven't got a clue where I come from. I go, yes, that's the truth. Once again, I'm saying, where have we learned something or integrated something? It may be a truth, but where has it become so stagnant, or I'm going to use the word stagnant, that we say, no, this is the truth, but we've never tested it. That's what I want to say, an untested hypothesis. And is there any expansion to see outside that box? Or is it, no, this is my truth, please don't upset me? So have we all got that courage to stick our head outside that box? I know many of you are listening to me. Yes, you have. And it's absolutely fine when you say, I can't explain it, I just know it. I go, you're wrong. Or I can't explain it because you may not understand it. That's absolutely true, because once we've diluted something down, filtered something down to a level where I can explain it to you, it's almost lost its essence, even though I love chatting and translating ideas to you. So this is a time, why I'm saying all of this is, it's a time not to get locked into more, if I may say, beliefs that are coming maybe over the internet or over from me or from books, but more to that inner version of yourself. What do I know that I can't really explain fully and I can't really understand, but it feels real? Now we're talking about your essential nature, because it's at that level where it's a truth that cannot be denied because you can't explain it. No, because it's personal to you. All right. So what has got us into a mess in the past? And what we understand, two of the greatest problems that we have as humans, I could name a few more, but one of them is hubris. And when I first heard that it is believed that Atlantis sank under the oceans because of hubris, I had to look that up. What is hubris? It's arrogance and ignorance together. It's a false sense of security based on insufficient information. It's a believing and holding on to something, arrogance, based on no depth to what you understand. And I see that hubris in our world today. We see it when people just are shut down when they start to ask questions. Stop asking the questions, just believe me. Which really says to me, why are you so threatened that I might ask you a question? Because if you can explain it, it gives me, both resonates with me, and I can now resonate with you. But it also helps me and you to understand how deeply is this rooted in truth. So to be shut down means actually your truth is very superficial and therefore it mustn't be challenged. And so that arrogance and the ignorance is hubris, and I can see how we get there. And it reminds me of what Bashar had said in the past, there is the power, the illusion of power and the power of illusion. And I think that that's what we're seeing today, as people who are believing that they're powerful, but it's an illusion and they're lost in that illusion. Now, I'm not saying I don't get lost in that. Oh, I know so much, Christine knows so much. But the illusion must be challenged, my friends. So if this is truly an inner knowing, you can challenge my illusion and or my truth, and it doesn't dissolve. But if it only can be held together by, you know, creating some sort of, we're going to shut you down if you keep talking this way, then it's not very powerful. So truth needs to be able to be exposed, to be vulnerable, to be transparent, for it to really come from a deep place. I've been interested in mythology, and it's following that same line. We have personal mythology. We have personal past life mythology. We have personal ancestral mythology. You understand? Stories that have been passed to us, either from past lives, future lives, from our ancestors, something I brought in from past life. But then we take it down to the cultural mythology, and maybe the religious mythology and the community mythology. These are all stories. They're all truths, according to what we have embodied. But those truths have to be questioned, and they are being questioned at the moment. Now, we can look at history books, but that may not take us anywhere. Because, of course, history is only written by those who succeed, not by the victors. So we often have to look within that truth in ourselves. Does that truth still resonate with me? Now, but because we have chosen as individuals a particular mythology to be born into, a religion, a culture, an ancestral, it has a resonance. But at this time, as I'm describing to you, those cultural, those walls, those ways in seeing ourselves, those beliefs are being challenged. So we must not get rid of history. We need to actually observe it even more. What was the truth in that matter? What is really going on? And then we keep going deeper. What is it to be human? What is it to be on this earth? What is it to be an earth being? We find ourselves by not escaping somewhere else and creating another belief. I come from somewhere else, which I truly do. But even in that knowing that I come from somewhere else, I'm also that somewhere else is inside me that I'm exploring. Does that make sense? So as I've said, what's happening is that junk DNA that was seen just as junk DNA is waking up. And that's why some of the vaccines are being formed in order almost to keep us asleep. So don't wake up to your truth. Don't wake up. That mustn't be allowed to happen. But we are waking up, which is why there's so much fear around from those who would like us to stay asleep. So keep going inside. Keep challenging your own beliefs. Take the courage to do that. Now, to really take this to the deepest level that I want to take today is to understand that we are nature. We are, as I've mentioned before, we are the dream, one of the dreams, one of many dreams of Mother Earth, of Gaia. So we are existing in this dream. And to exist in that dream, we are also created from the very substance that nature is created from, the earth, the trees, the rocks, the animals, the creepy crawlies, the birds that fly. Everything that we see out there is an aspect of us. Now, when I'm doing workshops and looking at our totem animals, I might say, oh, yes, I'm a hawk. And I always ask myself, what are the three qualities I give to a hawk? Well, it flies high, it's a messenger, and it swoops down and has pinpoint eyesight. Okay. So do I have those qualities? Absolutely. So every time we see an animal or we relate to a certain species of animal, we're seeing ourselves. That's easy for us to understand. But it's harder when I speak about, well, you are the trees, you are the stones. Well, I could say the stones are the bones. The stones out there, the minerals, hold the message of who we are. And what we believe is our bones or our hair, our nails carry the messages of who we are. That's why many cultures don't cut their hair. It's the wisdom that they've gained. Our bones, many cultures may use bones to actually throw the bones in order to make to give a reading to someone. The bones are the wisdom. The stones are the wisdom. If you've never had the chance to speak to a stone, it wants to share. It's been sitting there for thousands of years. It says, hey, do you want me to tell you what I've been seeing for these thousands of years? I see it like a video camera. The trees are breathing for us. They're moving for us. The water is flowing for us. And recently I was working and talking with someone and I came across that idea that we have within us all the nature. And instead of seeing ourselves as the guardians of Mother Earth, I said, no, we are her guests. We are her children. We are built from her. We are created from her. And I have to say, I think the interviewer was a little surprised. She kind of said, I don't think people would accept that. And I was like, oh, of course, what is natural to me may not be natural to someone else. And I realize we're still living in this hubris, this arrogance, that here we are as the superior species on a planet that is many, many times older than we are. But hey, we're the ones who can make sure that Mother Earth is okay. And then what we do even more in our arrogance and our ignorance is we project on her our issues. So I hear, oh, what can we do to save Mother Earth? Oh, Mother Earth is dying. We've destroyed Mother Earth. I'm sorry. Again, we are just like gnats on the back of a dog. She can shake us anytime or we're gone. Can we move beyond our arrogance, our superiority over animals, over Mother Earth, over nature, and that we are the ones to save her? Again, I'm not saying we shouldn't be better guests. We just stop needing to be so arrogant, because it's that arrogance that's going to destroy us. So if we, again, if that arrogance is based on beliefs, which it is, you know, we are superior. Remember, beliefs create reality. So in one of Gaia's dreams, she is destroyed. But it isn't her that's destroyed. It's our perception. It's our holographic perception, because we are projecting onto some homeland, some, I don't know how we see Mother Earth, as some energy that we have the potential to destroy. What I'm saying here is, no, we can't destroy Mother Earth, but we can live in a dream where we see that happening. And we can exist in that dream, and she isn't going to come and save us. In other words, it's our choice. There are other dreams, but those dreams aren't going to come from the mind. They're going to come from the way we actually live as nature, the way in which we understand the trees, the stones, the plant kingdoms, the elements, the elementals are not inferior to us. And that not only are they not inferior, they are us. That's why I say the body, my physical body, is a small part. This is my piece of Mother Earth to take care of. So before we rush out and try and save the planet, could we just look after the one piece of Mother Earth that we were given, our body? Oh no, I'm going to go and starve myself and look after Mother Earth, or I'm going to do, excuse me, if you take care of your body will take care of you, and you will save this part of Mother Earth. So start with our body. So what do we see? It's very interesting if we want to look at coronavirus, COVID, as to how the body has been affected, the lungs, the blood flow, the mind. So what's happening in our lungs? So if you see the trachea upside down with the bronchi, excuse me, if you see the trachea and the bronchi and then the alveoli, it looks like a tree. Turn that upside down, it is a tree. You understand? So what are we doing? We're actually living through this tree. So when we can't breathe, it's as if the tree's not breathing. Now, why would the tree not breathe? If we actually think of it, it isn't necessarily the branches. It's how well rooted is the tree into the earth. At the moment, many of our trees are thinking, many of our trees are rooted into our thinking, into our beliefs. So when someone says, I live in my mind, it means that we're not rooted in Mother Earth. We're not being nurtured by this. And we're not flowing with the communication that occurs when we are rooted. You may know that the mycelia are the fungus, are the way in which we communicate with all trees or the whole forest or all plants. So how much are we isolated in our communications, locked into one belief system? Have we the courage to connect to other people's belief systems through the mycelia and listen to other people, listen to the plants, listen to the stones, listen to the elements? Or are we so locked in, I can't hear anybody else because their beliefs are going to cause me to be ungrounded? That's what's happening. So when we feel threatened by other people's beliefs, it's mainly because, again, there's a sort of superiority and arrogance, but it's more about our fear of losing ourselves or losing our security, because maybe my beliefs aren't actually what it's all about. There's a lovely word we talk about, communion, community, communication. Isn't it interesting that these words have that same element, that ability that when we communicate, we create an interface, an intercourse. And I love that word, making love is actually intercourse in some languages. To communicate, to be in communion with, to engage in something that has a greater joy to everyone. But when we are not communicating, when we are shutting down communication, when we're fearful of someone else's opinions, then we can't breathe. So rooting ourselves in Mother Earth. And you may say, how to do that? You might have heard me say it before. Take your awareness from your mind, from your thoughts, down to your feet. Imagine that you have magnets on the soles of your feet. And there are larger magnets in Mother Earth drawing you into her with love. Develop roots going in all directions and allow those roots to be supported and held in a loving way by the earth of Mother Earth, the soil, but also by the mycelia, which flow through your roots, around your roots, providing you with nourishment while you provide the fungi with their nourishment. That's the interchange that takes place. Nitrogen, phosphorus brought into the trees. And then the trees provide gases to the mycelia so they may survive. It's that interchange. And why can we have an interchange? Because we're not threatened by someone else's existence, someone else's beliefs. And why are we not threatened? It's because in some ways my beliefs do not give me total security. What gives me security is my interaction with others, my exchange of energy, my ability to know that I'm not alone, but nor do I have to live in a way that does not allow me to be touched by others. And everything that's happening in this particular pandemic is stopping that touch, stopping that communication. And therefore, are we surprised that we can't breathe? And I follow that theme. We talk about the fluids, the water, the bloodstream. Many individuals are having problems with blood clotting in this disease. So what does it mean? What does water mean in our lives? The streams, the oceans. Well, we know our streams and oceans are getting blocked up by plastics. You could look at that. We have to stop that at the source, not at the end. But what does it also mean to have a blood flow? It means connection, connecting again to other people. Our heart is the way in which we connect. We connect emotionally. We connect through that ability to know that, once again, communion, touch, belonging is an important part for us. And we've become isolated. And again, this illness is isolating us more. So either we're seeing someone who is having blood clots or has no boundaries. They don't know how to stop communicating. They're having bleeds. So we've lost ourselves. So you might say, well, that's two different things. It is. Sometimes we've become isolated. We don't feel we belong. We've got lost in our own little worlds. And at other times, we are losing ourselves in the needs of other people. We've forgotten the self. We need both for the heart to be healthy. The self and the all. The others, we could say, which creates the all. So again, this illness has isolated us, has made people live at home where they really should be communicating with others at work. It's the way in which we live. So that's just earth and the earth I've shared with you. I've shared with the stories of the earth, the trees, the water, and the fire. The fire is our passion. So the fire does need to rise those. Where have we become complacent? Where has fear put our fire out? Fire doesn't have to be negative. It's about passion. Where are we not doing what really gives us passion? So what I would suggest at the end of this podcast, that you make time, if you can, to go out in nature. And don't go and talk to the tree from a human place. Say, hi, tree. I am breathing with you. Let us breathe together. We breathe in and we breathe out. We breathe in up to our branches. We breathe down into our roots. And if the tree then wants to say something to you, listen. But this is communion. The breath is communion. And when you're around water, feel the flow of your own body, the bloodstream, the lymph system, everything that flows. And say, am I damming my own flow? Where do I need to stop blocking myself? Where do I need to meet more people? Or where do I need to create greater boundaries so I can really listen to myself? And fire, you can work with a fire out there in the world, or a flame, or you could work, as I say, a fire in your own home. Just talk to the fire and say, let me experience your warmth. Let you experience your inspiration. Let me experience the ability to break through old things that no longer need to be with me. And then I think I've really shared connecting and rooting into Mother Earth, working with the stone kingdom, being still as a stone and just listen, listen. Not always be wanting to tell. So I hope that you will have a wonderful week of communing, communication, going deeper within yourself, working with your own bloodstream, your own breathing, your own mind, quietening the mind, but allowing all those lovely chemicals and enzymes and catalysts, which are part of the fire kingdom, to start to bring about the change that you're ready to bring to the world and to be in the world. And until next time, take care now. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Heart Speak Podcast with Dr. Christine Page. Please check out all Heart Speak episodes in the podcast archive section on www.christinepage.com. Heart Speak is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, and now playing on iHeartRadio. You can also watch the archive podcasts on YouTube. Connect with Christine on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, including her newest Facebook group, The Great Mother Calling. Do share with family, friends, colleagues. Join us next time for another edition of Heart Speak.